base up in Zululand. It was hot as Hades. Tin roof. Reverend Ian Thompson and I were going up to do this officiating. And there we were in this three-piece suit and a tie. And there were about 12 elders, and I sat with the elders with my back against the steel corrugated iron on a bench. And all the lads were squeezed nice and brotherly together. And the sweat was running down my back like a river. And at that moment in time, I got the word from the Lord, think cool. Just let it happen. And you know what? Ever since then, it's worked. Because as you get yourself all hyped up when you're hot, you know, it just gets worse. So the word is, think cool. Here's the word of the Lord for today, and it's taken from Matthew 25, verse 34 to 40, and then from 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6 to 10. Then the king, and this is Jesus speaking, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And then from 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6 to 10. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right for such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. May the Lord add to our understanding as we think on these things. And so, loved of God, what a seeming dichotomy we're faced with this morning's scripture, Matthew, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. And then again in Thessalonians, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. Well, for the clear thinking Christian disciple, there should be no dichotomy, because whilst we're urged to feed the hungry in Matthew, we're told in Thessalonians, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. And the key word, of course, is will not work. He will go hungry. That seems to put an end to it. But does it? Because time and again, we think back, and we think back to what Christ said and what we were taught, whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man who will not work, perhaps is a wastrel, he shall not eat. But Christ died for us whilst we were yet sinners. So we have this dichotomy. So if we're Christ-like too, we're called to love the sinner, not the sin, but the sinner. We're called to love the sinner whilst understanding why he continually grows hungry, because he continually will not work. Dearly loved of God, it's at this point I want you to think about something that I learned over 12 years at the Beach Mission, and it's called spiritual triage. Do you know what triage is? It's when there's a massive accident and the injured are coming into the emergency section, and there's just far too many people for what is being on offer by doctors and nurses. And so they apply triage, which, as I'm given to understand, is they give the attention in a coding of, I think I should get Andy up here and explain this, you know. Yeah, Andy, keep yourself handy, boy. To give the best attention to those that are most in need. So those who are most in need get the attention, and then it works out from then on in. And with, in our South African context of unemployment, which causes many people to suffer hunger, the scripture reminds us that the harvest is plenty and the workers are few. The need is there, but the workers are few. Also, in the context of this morning's scripture, some are hungry because they will not work. And so, with Christian compassion, it's time for every body of Christ to set up some form of spiritual triage, which will address this problem. When I first started to come to Hillcrest Presby, with the training I'd had at the mission, I could see that the minister and his staff were regularly being manipulated. This is number one Old Main Road, and the gentlemen of the road, and occasionally ladies of the road, would come up. This is the first place where the milk of human kindness can be tapped into, and they would give out their story. And a minister by calling will be a man of, a woman of empathy, of care. And of course, they're faced with this. They can often tell, perhaps it's a story, but they're faced with a guilt trip, feeling guilty, and they're feeling compassion. And it's a constant struggle. And so, with that in mind, we wanted to start having some form of spiritual triage which would meet these people and start to sort the sheep from the goats, and give help where it was most genuinely needed, and give a knowing word to those who are just working the system. Again, showing the love of God wherever possible. But when they got arrogant and aggressive, then we chased them on their way. And so, how do we do that? How do we have the training? And how do we come to a peaceful, a Christian understanding of the problem of somebody who is on the road, appears to be hungry, hasn't got a job, and all of the things that we know and we hear? Well, I'd like to just guide you in this. There are four broad categories. There's A, those that want to work and are able. B, there's those that want to work who are unable. C, there's those that want to work but only succeed at begging or car guarding or something similar. And D, don't want to work hard but rather work at deceiving people into giving. Let's start with category D and learn to discern the telltale signs of this category, for your Christian compassion can be better used elsewhere in spiritual triage. They tell their story speaking quickly, with lots of characters in changing situations, with lots of bad luck affecting them, And finally, the end of their story is, you are the only one person on earth right here and right now that can save the situation. That's the general pattern. I have a job in Richards Bay starting tomorrow and I just need transport money to get up there. I've got a job, but I have to have an ID. Can you give me enough so I can go and get an ID copy made? Often, when you do a background check, as you're talking to them, there's no brothers, there's no sisters, there's no mother, there's no father. They've all disappeared, run away, or whatever. And so the person is arriving in the universe from nowhere. You've got no way of backtracking because they've come from Germiston or they've come from somewhere that's a long way away. And we know that Satan is always in a hurry, whereas time is on God's side. And so if we're not sure, make another appointment with such a person. Because that's the way that God filters out the deceivers. They're always in a hurry. They need to give you a guilt trip right now, so you will act right away. Most will not come back because they're in a hurry. And if they start ramping up your guilt trip, using your guilt to pressurize you, then you know you're being conned. Genuine people who find themselves in a difficult situation will not talk loudly or fast or boldly. They'll speak gently with humility and will not want you to feel guilt for their situation. A warning on this category of person, they will come to churches, usually when the service has started, knowing that if they come towards the end, there's tea, that's fine, and coffee, that's fine. But also the crowd can be worked at that time. And our way of dealing with that was to say, brother, the Sabbath is a day where we stop working. I've stopped working on the Sabbath. You're working now. You're working the room. If you come here, you don't work on the Sabbath. If you want to come and discuss it in the week, we'll make a plan. But not on the Sabbath. The other thing we have to watch out for is dippers, and we've had them in this church, believe it or not. When the bag goes around, there may be something in their hand like a coin. It goes in, but they palm a note when they bring their hand out. It's happened. The other one is, if you're sitting at the back, a couple of rows, or ladies, always put your handbag in the row in front of you, in front of your feet. Don't put it under your chair, because they will... they'll be filched. It's what happens. Then we go to category C, the working beggar. I've got a heart for the working beggar who will stand on a street corner begging to feed himself and his family. But be discerning. Rarely give money unless you know the person really well. Rather give food or clothes. The hard-working beggar will be a regular at a good spot. Unofficial car guards may fall into this category. The person who's got a problem, the alcoholic, the drug addict, will only be there in that place long enough to get the money needed for the next fix, and then they disappear. So the ones that you see regularly in the same place, the same place, the same place, are there a working beggar, probably. And maybe that would give you direction for your compassion. Then, in amongst that category is what we know as the sneaky beggar who volunteers to work, appears to be really keen to work at fairly low rates as well, often. But they've got one objective, and that's to get inside your life somewhere, in your garden or wherever. And then the begging process will start. And you will hear the sad story or whatever it may be. And so that is somebody that's being deceptive. And you need not, don't go any further. Give the rate for the job and that's it. Another form of sneaky beggar is the Christian beggar. He comes to the church at the end of tea time and, as we've said, works the crowd. Our destitute ministry team at Hillcrest will try and approach them before they start spinning their hard luck story. Guys who are new come in. If they look weather-beaten, we'd rather go up to the guys and say, hey, how are you? What's your name? Look the guy in the eye and start connecting. Because in that way, and then let them know, hey, this is my ministry. So, guys, enjoy the tea, enjoy the coffee. Hey, enjoy the service, but don't work the room. And if you want to talk further, make a plan, and I'll meet you in the week. We very rarely give money to people. If Congregant feels compassion for the vagrant, they should arrange an appointment to meet at a later date with one of them of our ministry team. If the vagrant story checks out without lies, we then get to know them and show them love of our Lord, always discerning between he who's chosen a life on the road and he who hasn't. In category B, we have those who want to work but are unable, perhaps through illness, old age, or self-inflicted abuse of drugs and alcohol. We're not just called to be judges, but we're called to show the love of God through Jesus Christ. And so we should have some sort of soup kitchen, feeding, trolley ministry screen which these folks can be directed to. And God's pantry is one of those ways. We've also been blessed with a ministry from Woolworths, where on a Wednesday we collect and we distribute between 40 and 60 packets of groceries every Wednesday to members of our church and to members of congregation in Mulwenny. Once again, we try not to give money that could be sold to feed an abuse. And we always give on a different day than the Sabbath. In that way, we filter out the con men. So, get to know the regulars who aren't abusing themselves and be compassionate. And then finally, we look at category A. Those who want to work and are able to work, we must interview them, discern if they're not sneaky beggars or con men, check out the story, warn them no lies, and write everything down. We capture their info to backtrack and check at a later stage. Because once a person starts telling lies, they never remember the lies they told. They must have references, or we help them to get references. And so we check out dates in their work CV. Large gaps must be explained. They may have been in prison. The other thing from a point of view of CVs, what we do is we offer work experience. And that work experience sometimes means that the church in our ministry pays people to go and work in somebody's home or business from the congregation. And sometimes that person may have a need that they maybe can't climb on the roof and clean out their gutters. And so we would have a work experience person who the church are paying to go and do a job for a church member. So it's a win-win situation. But the church member gives us a written report afterwards. Did they try and give them a sneaky beggar story on the inside? Did they work? How did they work? What were they like? So in that, we've done things like help fund in their job-seeking process. Those experiences, ID documents, taxi fares for job interviews, assist drawing up CV for perhaps a bursary for a skills-based training course. I've got a real heart for this whole thing of skills-based training. We haven't done enough. I haven't done enough. But it's something in the future we're going to need more and more of. More and more young people are not getting jobs. And if they can just be given some sort of skills-based education, it improves their chance. There's thousands of young girls who say, I'll be a domestic. In Mulwenny in November, we're starting to run the first St. John's Ambulance Brigade's first aid course. And those young girls who go through this course will then have a certificate that will say, I am able to resuscitate your child from the swimming pool accident. I am able, if your child electrocutes themselves with a finger, to bring your child. I am able to help your child if it's choking. Now, with simple upskilling of that level, we improve that young lady's chances of getting a job from being a domestic to being a child care somebody. It's not rocket science. And it to me, the P in Presbyterian stands for practical. Practical solution of care in that way. We have placed people, and Yvonne can testify to, what was her first name? Shazy was her surname, who looked after Malcolm. Was it Prudence? Prudence Shazy. There's a number of ladies who've been retrenched from working at Rob Roy. They were trained as nurse caregivers. Trained. And they were retrenched. We found out about these people. We kept them on file. And they come and have worked in our homes and brought people back to recovery who'd been seriously ill. Callie, who's not here today, he was bedridden after a massive operation. And Malcolm, after an op. Caring people at reasonable prices coming to look after our people. But they were given the dignity of a job. Okay, so in doing all of these things, frontline ministry team members are freed up to work in seriously wounded lost sheep and people worn down. Our ministry team, the main ministry team, if they've got to deal with these other issues day in, day out, it drains them of what they need to be doing. People like Brian. And so this ministry team that we have, Watson and I were the spearheads of it. Watson's been well trained up, and he's now running something similar in Mulwaney. I will be, I'm looking to go more and more into ministry. And so I've put out the call wherever to see whether I can be called to go into full-time ministry. So this is why I'm talking to you today. This ministry that's here, that I've been running, needs to go on, continue to support Brian and the team. And so I'd like to ask if anybody would be interested in getting involved in the Ministry of Spiritual Triage for unemployed and destitute people to speak to me in the next week or so and be prepared to come and start learning and training with a view to improving the ministry we've had and continue to offer that ministry. A ministry of Christian networking for jobs. Not only the destitute people, our people who are finding themselves unemployed. How can we work together as a family and network and help? So that's our word for today. Perhaps there weren't as many laughs that there normally are, but it's to be laid on your heart, and we look forward to hearing in the future. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, there for the grace of God go I. When we see people down and out, they're human beings. When they were born, they were babies. They were babies that were just like my child, your child, and they were your children, Father, and you looked at them and you were happy with what you had created. But life made things difficult for them. Father, we want to continue to bring the love of God through Jesus Christ to people in this community, to be a beacon of light, that shines out in this community. And we know, Lord, that your light shines brightest in the darkest of places. And there's very few darker places than being destitute and homeless. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, bring forward the people who are capable and willing and make themselves available for this extended spiritual triage para-Christian ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.